Amen. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to our worship service. What a joy it is. I love preludes, and I also love postludes. I was one of, when I worked for Gleaning for the World and attended church for a couple year period, I was one of those dorky people that stayed in this pew until the entirety of the postlude. Just, I need the quiet. And I was at an all-day meeting yesterday, and they were joking about preachers not getting off. And they, one guy asked me, "Do you have to go to church on Christmas Day?" And thankfully, before I could respond, a very old, seasoned, lifelong Anglican looked at him and said, "No, Tom doesn't have to go to church on Christmas. He gets to go to church." And isn't that our joy? We come here today because we are truly in love with Jesus Christ and each other. So it's good to see all of you here on this very busy but blessed Christmas season. If you'll look with me, just a couple announcements. Do remember that we have two events that you are invited to this week. On Wednesday the 14th, in the Fellowship Below, Hall Below, we will have our Christmas party. The church will provide the drinks. I would like each one of you, if you can bring some type of hors d'oeuvres, finger food, sweets, something like that that we can eat together. And the heavier the better. You know, people always say, "Well, don't go to a lot of trouble." I'm more honest than that. I will go to a lot of trouble. Let's make this a competition to see. But no, we'll get together and we'll have a great time. But the church will provide the drinks. You just bring something to share and we'll have a wonderful time together. Anything else I need to say about that, Carol? Okay. And then on the 16th in this sanctuary, and I've checked them online, it's a wonderful a cappella group called the Emmanuel Quartet. They're being brought here by our host church here, the Seventh-day Adventists, and they've extended an invitation to our congregation if we would like to join with them on Friday. That's all the announcements I have, other than two that aren't in the bulletin. If you are collecting for the Society of St. Andrew, I'll put out again the counter, say, feel free not to collect all the change and just simply write a check. They're a lot lighter to tote to the bank, so feel free to do that. Also, we have a great opportunity in this area, connected with a seminary out of Philadelphia. They do it each winter. We took a group last year, and those that went found it very much of a blessing. It's in Roanoke, and they're doing it again this January. It's a Thursday night for about 3 hours, a Friday night, and then all day Saturday. And I'm very excited. The gentleman coming in from the University of the Free State of South Africa is going to talk about the Christian notion of the Trinity and how it's important. It's only $100, so it's very reasonable. The brochures for that on the back. Any other announcements? All right, let's move into prayer requests. Want to keep Glenn Harvey in our prayers. He'll go back on the 15th. For a follow-up visit, so let's continue to keep Glenn. Sherry and I went by with a cake and a couple gingerbread men Friday for his birthday, and he had said several of you reached out in cards and calls and texts, so I appreciate us recognizing. He turned to 80 this past Friday, so let's keep Glenn and Ruth in our prayers. Also, one that happened yesterday, and it's I guess Sherry's best friend's husband, he was doing something on a ladder two stories up and he fell, and it's quite serious. And she, you have an update that goes beyond this. Would you like to share?
Yes. He has a shattered wrist, a broken nose, and his pelvic injuries that are going to operate today. They can't do the pelvic injury. It's much more intensive, so they have to do it on Wednesdays. Just a lot of reconstruction. It's pretty serious. And they're going to be doing the hand, the wrist today at 10 o'clock. and his wrist is shattered. So he was cleaning his gutters and fell off the ladder. So he's going to be out for about 3 months if everything goes well. So just please keep them in prayer. It's Connie, it's my friend, and her husband's Keith.
Keith Byers.
And they're in Richmond. Hospital last night, they couldn't get a bed, and he finally got a bed for him late last night.
So let's keep Keith in our prayers. As we speak, he's entering into surgery, and then on Wednesday as well.
Mm-hmm. Right now, they're doing surgery for the rest of the day.
Thank you. We also want to keep B in our prayer. She's having difficulties recuperating, so the pain level's been high, so let's keep B in our prayers. It's good to see Wayne here. He's been out for a while, so he's looking as good as ever. I didn't mean that as an insult. You can take it any way you want to. We love you, brother. Well, we're glad you're back. Robert, what's the update with Heather?
Brian has told me that she's going to Richmond or even Norfolk for a whole year.
So Friday, court, and then for a year, either to Richmond or Norfolk. Richmond would be a lot closer, so let's pray that. Any other prayer requests? Patty.
I just pray for our church that we raise enough money that we can continue to get the loan we need in the future and that we get enough people to contribute to the church.
Amen. We'll continue to keep our church, that our ministry will continue to be active and reach out to other people. Thank you for mentioning that. Carrie. Oh, Sue.
I just say that sometimes back here we don't hear everything. I felt that I didn't get, and I think Judy said too, when the budget was going on, we didn't realize that we had 4 good years. Carol was telling me, but the 5th year is the one that, you know, we're lacks in. So
but I think we'll finish.
I didn't get it.
You know, life's and fiscal years are like football games, and it really matters what the score is at the end, and I'm confident we're going to end this year quite good. God's always done that for us, and I appreciate your faithfulness in that as we praise God together. So thank you for the prayers. It should be a daily item, just that we stay true to Scripture and that we stay true to our mission of reaching out to others. Thank you. Carrie.
My neighbor, Linda Medley, she sold her house on the 26th and moved into Valley Ridge. And my neighbor texted me the other day. I think it was Tuesday. She passed away. So if we could just pray for the family.
So Linda passed away. The Medley family.
The Medley family. And Leslie and Jean Davis, who are her best friends. Keep them in prayer.
Yes, Warren.
Kathy will have some procedure done in her neck this coming week, so it's rather.
Keep us posted on that.
What day is that she's going to have?
Friday.
Okay. Keep us posted on that. Thank you.
Now,
Sue.
Can those people that are speaking turn around to us and.
And I try to repeat it as well. So, Kathy is having a procedure this Friday on her neck. And Carrie lifted up a friend of hers, a neighbor, Linda Medley, passed away, so we'll keep the Medley family in our prayer.
Okay, thanks.
You know, I'm so tempted to say, even though I can't do anything to improve hearing, I'm so tempted to say, why don't y'all just come on down closer? But I am not going there. I'm not going there. Because my board chair just looked at me with a scowl. He's not moving off that back row.
We just need you to repeat it.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
I have a praise. I want to thank everybody for the prayers for Colin. Yeah. We do have a Marine. He graduated tonight.
And when do y'all leave to go down to see Colin?
About 7 o'clock Wednesday morning. We're heading. down to Pearson. It's a 7-hour drive.
It's on Friday, right?
Yeah, we're driving Wednesday. Family day is Thursday. Graduation's Friday.
Yeah. Because I heard from a Marine, I was going to say a former Marine, but a Marine last night that they always graduate or whatever on Fridays.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, don't call a Marine a former Marine. You get slapped. Once a Marine, always a Marine. He'll tell you.
This is a short guy. Nah. Okay, so let's keep all of you in prayer as you travel. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful when we see people, because we've prayed for Colin for many years and made so many poor choices for many years. Isn't it wonderful to see that things do and can get better? And it's always to God's glory when that happens. So amen. Let Colin know we're praying for him.
Yes, sir.
Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Helen has had very good numbers, almost normal. I think she was at, if I remember correctly, from Thursday, she was at 37, her numbers, and they say 35 is normal. So that's great. So, and it's good to have you with us, Judy.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
After your procedure. Anyone else? That's good. Lord in prayer. Our gracious Lord, we come to you as family, brothers and sisters, redeemed by your gracious hand. We come as one. There's no rank in our midst. There's no level of membership. There's no better or worse members in your family. We're just one in the family of God, all redeemed and all equally loved and valued by you and by each one of us. So we thank you for all those that assemble just to see Jesus and him alone and be strengthened by them. We pray that your grace and strength would be extended beyond this particular time to these events at different locations and at different times. We pray that you would be with so many things that are, seems that are happening on Friday. As Heather goes to her hearing, give wisdom to where she will be placed, comfort her and her family in particular. Be with Robert and strengthen him. We thank you for his faithfulness. Also on Friday, we thank you that Colin will be officially commissioned as a Marine. We thank you for his sticking with it through boot camp and for his family persistently over the years, sticking with and encouraging him. So may it truly be a time where all of them together celebrate this great accomplishment. We also pray that on Friday you would be with Kathy. We pray even now that you'll prepare her neck for the procedure, and we just pray that that will go well. We thank you for your presence when things do go well. We pray that you'll continue to be with Glenn. We thank you for how you've brought Wayne back and Judy. We thank you for the good numbers that Helen is seeing. We pray that you'll continue to be with B, and she's having more pain than she hoped. Strengthen B and Dave in that. In particular, we pray that you'd be with Keith Byers. We pray that even now as we are praying, he is in surgery for his wrist. We pray that that will go well. We pray that in the procedures to come, the surgery for his pelvic area, for his other broken bones, we just pray that his pain would be kept to a minimum and he will be able to regain the mobility and so he can have the activity that he's accustomed to. Just bless his wife, his children, and bless friends as they care for and lift up Keith. We pray that you would be with the Medley family and the loss of Linda. We just pray that you'll bless that entire family. And we thank you for the faithfulness of members in this church. I say, for it's true, that that I'm so honored to sort of be able to have a leadership role among brothers and sisters in Christ that love you above all things and love each other, not just in word, but in deed. I thank you for the faithfulness, and I trust that as we continue to have the one goal of reaching and lifting up your name and reaching out to others with the love of that name, that you will continue to bless us, you'll continue to provide for us, and you will continue to make a way for us to shine forth for Jesus Christ. So shine in our midst this day, we pray. We ask all these things in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
If you'll join with me from the front, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and to teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sins. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
If you'll look with me to the insert, we'll call one another to worship using Psalm 146, then before we stand and sing, O Come All You Faithful, we will see and there's a misprint there, the lighting of the third Advent candle. Today is the day that we recognize joy. Today we will light the rose-colored candle. The way you can remember the color is that it's not pink, because Jesus didn't pink from the grave, he rose from the grave. So it's a rose-colored day, a day of praise. And we come, and it's a day we also remember the faithfulness of the mother of our Lord. And because of that, I have asked, and she will, the youngest female member in our congregation, will be lighting and reading the third Advent candle. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being.
Put not your trust in rulers, nor in any child of earth, for there is no help in them.
When they breathe their last, they return to earth, and in that day their thoughts perish.
Happy are they who have not Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God.
Who has made heaven and earth, the seas and all that is in them, who keeps his promise forever.
Who gives justice to those who are oppressed, and food to those who hunger.
The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down.
The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord cares for the stranger. He sustains the orphan and widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked.
The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, throughout all generations. Hallelujah.
The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom.
like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be there upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The prophet Isaiah tells us about the joy of ascending to God's house. The prophet tells us to imagine being set free, being unburdened, being released to live, to fully live in the grace and wonder of life itself, surrounded by those who love us like no one else. And then he tells us that the journey to get there is just as much as a joy. The psalmist says, happy are these whose help is God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keeps faith, who executes justice, gives food, sets prisoners free, opens eyes, lifts up, watches over, upholds. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. Relight these candles, the candle of joyous hope, of proclamation peace, and of deep and everlasting joy, as a sign that we are those who walk with a skip in our step because we can see the destination and its pure joy. We are ascending to God's promise.
Thank you. 35, 1 through 10. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. The waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful.
Oh.
gospel reading is Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 15. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and violent take it by force. For in all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Amen. You may be seated. We have been blessed today already to those that read, those that lit the candles, the solo that Andy had at the beginning, and that wonderful offertory. Balance is always where the scripture calls, that middle way that the Anglicans speak of. You never want to go to one extreme or the other. And too often, Protestants have thrown the baby out of with the bathwater, especially when it comes to the one that gave birth to Jesus Christ. I don't know what you think of Mary, but I hear tell her son likes her a great deal. So. While she's not a co-redemptrix, she is a model for all of us in living the Christian faith. So there are a couple songs you can guarantee I'm going to cry with. Ava Maria's one, Danny Boy's the other, but that was really inspirational. Hopefully this won't be anticlimactic. Let us pray. And now our gracious Spirit, the Spirit of Christ Himself, which invades us all, the only teacher, the one that can take away the darkness of our eyes and allow us to see light. May we see light, and may we understand that that light is your word and your word alone. We would see Jesus, and this we pray in his name. Amen. The last two sermons, the last two from Isaiah, as I'm preaching through Isaiah and Advent, ironically were the first Sunday of Advent and the second Sunday of Advent. We also speak of Jesus having two Advents. And it's ironic that the first Sunday of Advent this year spoke of Jesus' first Advent from Isaiah 2, where it says he came to redeem believers. He came in a hidden way, hidden in word and sacrament. Last week, the second Sunday of Advent, the passage from Isaiah 11 spoke of the second advent of Christ coming, when he'll come not to redeem believers, but to restore the world, and he won't come hidden. He'll come glorious, and in a glorious fashion with trumpets shouting. And now we're on the third Sunday. One that's supposed to be of joy, but the readings remind us that we live in the here and now, the real world. We live in the real world. We may want a different world, but like Alan Jackson crooned many years ago, we live in the real world, a world where the boy don't always get the girl, the world where people lose their health and they lose their jobs and they have difficulties. They fall. It's a real world. And our passage in Isaiah today points out several things that are real. And what I love about Christianity is the reality of it. And the first thing we see in our passages today in Isaiah is the dangers are real. There's a wilderness in verse 1. Wilderness and dry land, burning sand and haunts of jackals, ravenous beasts. Now, when we think of wilderness, we sort of like wilderness. I do. When I lived in California, not far from a couple different wilderness locations, it brought my soul joy to go out and to be in wilderness. It was beautiful trees and peaceful times and just wonderful time. In the scripture, however, wilderness is far more of a code word for something that doesn't stir the soul, but maybe more frightens the heart. The wilderness is a place of danger. The scripture speaks of the location of wilderness being where deadly animals will attack at night, and the sun will attack during the day, and water is scarce, and crops don't grow. And it's easy to get lost in the wilderness. It's easy to get lost in the wilderness. The wilderness is real. One of the difficulties of the prosperity gospel, that teaching that just pervades so much of modern evangelicalism, is that if you love God, your life's going to go great. And if you see difficulties in your life, it's probably because you're not loving God enough, or praying enough, or giving enough, or attending church enough, or there's something deficient in your walk. Because don't we know that God intends all His believers, His true believers, to walk in joy and light and peaches and cream. And the message comes in this real world that we are to have joy, but we're to have joy in the midst of real dangers, in the midst of real difficulties and failure. The old story brings comic relief, but it points to a serious flaw in our thinking of a gentleman that had a dream that he went to hell. And when he's gone through hell, he sees a group of people, it looks like they're chanting. And he asks Satan, who's escorting them through, who are those people? He said, oh, they're the positive mental thinkers. They're those of science and mind. They're those of the Christian Science tradition where they think if you can just believe it, it's true. And as he got closer, he heard them all chanting in unison, this is not hell and I am not hot. This is not hell and I am not hot. This is not hell and I am not hot. And brothers and sisters, while we find some humor in that, there's a sadness that a lot of Christians are going through life with this understanding that since they have this false notion that walking with Christ is the elimination of all dangers and difficulties, it forces them into this false notion of sort of having to convince themselves that the dangers aren't as real. Let me let you know, there are real dangers out there. There are mean people out there. There are situations that are frightening, but we're not left there. So the dangers are real, but they also, we see in Isaiah, the promise is real. We read in beginning in verse 3, strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees, say to the anxious heart, especially if it's your own, be strong, fear not. See, Christ coming here was our promise. Christ coming here is our hope. And Christ came not because your life was going incredibly well, and he just thought he wanted to get on board with how swimmingly well your life was going. See, Dietrich Bonhoeffer understood this probably better than any 20th century person, for he saw the ravages of a real danger. And he saw what happens when a real threat, in his case it was a threat of fascism with Adolf Hitler. And he understood that the most faithful were not exempt from real dangers, but through those dangers had a real promise that strengthened them. And Bonhoeffer wrote this, and it's such a beautiful thought of our God. God is not ashamed of the loneliness of human beings. God marches right in. He chooses people as his instruments, and he performs his wonders where one would least expect them. God is near to loneliness. He loves the lost, the neglected, the unseemly, the unbeautiful, the excluded, the weak and broken. See, the promise is that he came to us. That's a promise here. We don't come and ascend some ladder to work to him. He promises to meet us, and he comes to us. And this promise is real. And the promise that strengthens in the real world of danger is a real word of strength. But let's be honest. Don't you get tired of being strong? Don't you get tired of holding on to the promise? I mean, I'm grateful for the promise. It is our hope. It is our salvation. It is that which we say to strengthen the weak hands. It is that which we makes our knees strong. It is that which helps us to endure. But don't you get tired of enduring? Don't you get tired of being strong? Well, let me tell you, there's one other thing that's even better than the promise. See, our ultimate hope isn't found on this earth. Our ultimate hope, our greatest gain, as Paul would say it, is not that Christ came here. That was necessary. But Christ came here so that in him we can go there. That's our ultimate hope. This world is not our home, even with the promise of Christ being with us here. Our ultimate hope is that we're going to be there. And that's why Paul can say that to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Because I'm no longer here holding on to the promise, I'm there in his presence. And that leads me to the third thing that's real. And you're going to have to put on your thinking caps because I'm not slipping in how I say it. The danger is real and the promise is real, but God is really real. Now you think, what do you mean really real? Well, really real is the way I like to say eternal. See, the dangers are real, but guess what are going to happen to the dangers? They're going to go away. The threats will go away. There'll be a time where every tear will be dried and all sickness and sorrow will be over. The dangers are real, but they're not eternal. And the promise is real. But the promise is not eternal because when faith gives way to sight, we no longer need the promise because we'll have the presence. You follow me on that? So God is the really real. And because he is our hope, our only hope, in the midst of real danger, holding on to a real promise, we look constantly to the really real, the eternal, and then we can sing, to quote Bonhoeffer one more time, then we can sing the most, what he called the most revolutionary hymn ever written. Do you know what the most revolutionary hymn ever written was? Well, if you think of what today is, you'll turn with me to Luke. If you turn with me to Luke 1, Bonhoeffer said that the most revolutionary hymn ever sang of praise in God was that hymn sung by the teenage girl who had just been giving the awful, in all counts of that, awful in a good way and awful in a tremendously upsetting way, news that she as a virgin was going to have a child. And I want you to look with me in Luke 1, something that we often don't catch when we read Scripture, because we sort of read in silos and we don't let other passages speak to us. The angel has come to Mary. And the angel has given the word to Mary that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, verse 36, and will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Then it goes on to say, in verse 38, Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. Now, follow this. This is crucial in understanding the Magnificat the way it needs to be understood. In the Greek, it's extremely clear, but it's also clear here in the English. As soon as the angel departed, Mary went with haste to Elizabeth. She entered the house, in the house of Zechariah, and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting, we know the story. John was the first one who showed us how to respond in the presence of God. Life jumped in the womb of Elizabeth. And then she goes to give this song of praise. But if you follow the chronology and her going immediately to Mary, to Elizabeth, whom did she not go see? What state, besides being a virgin, is Mary? She's betrothed to be married in a culture where she knows, being a pregnant woman now, her husband could have her stoned. Her husband could divorce her, and she would give birth to an unwanted child and be completely vulnerable. The point I'm trying to make is what we know was going on when Joseph had the angel come to him in a dream. Mary's not aware of that now. Do you follow me? So she's going with the fear of thinking she's either going to die or have to raise a child alone and vulnerable in a culture that was neither friendly nor welcoming to that. She was in a very real, dangerous situation. But she had heard the promise. So therefore, she could sing this. Look with me in verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in their thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offering forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her. In the midst of real dangers, having nothing but a promise to hold on to, she boldly sang a hymn, praising God for his might. And I want to show you two words. You know more Greek than you know. should show you two words that Mary spoke of, and you can sing them as well to strengthen your weak knees, to calm your anxious heart, to encourage you. In verse 49, "For he who is mighty has done great things." The word there, mighty, is the word megas, where we get mega, big, incredibly big, bigger than any of your problems, bigger than any of your fears, bigger than anything you envision impossible, has done great things for me. And the word there, great, comes from the word dunamis, or dynamite. So the God that Mary held on to in the midst of real danger, with a real promise, who she looked to as the one who was really real, was the mighty God who could do great things for her. Brothers and sisters, He's our God as well. And this is the word of the Lord to us today. That's why we have joy on this particular Sunday. Amen? Amen. Let us stand and sing, confess together the words of our faith through the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, Lord God of time and eternity, for you have opened the eyes of the blind and unstopped the ears of the deaf. You have made the lame leap like a deer and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. You have made this world as a playground of delights, and you call the people to be your companions forever. In Jesus, you showed us who you are, who we are, how far we have strayed from you, and how to become your companions again. In His death, you opened a path for our redemption, and in His resurrection, you brought us the joy of forgiveness and everlasting life. And so our souls magnify you with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, singing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the heights. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the heights. God of blessing, in Jesus you fill the hungry with good things. You bestow mercy from generation to generation. You show us the cost and glory of your salvation in the breaking and pouring and sharing of bread and wine. Send down your Holy Spirit that your people may be sanctified by your grace, and that these gifts of bread and of wine may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took a cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Delivering God, we call on you to fulfill your Advent promise. May waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Make a highway on which no traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. Bring home those who are in exile. Fill their hearts with singing and shower your heads with everlasting joy. Unite your church. Clothe us with the fruits of your spirit and fill us with the hope of Advent, the substance of things hoped for and the knowledge of things unseen, until all bow before your throne and worship in your glory, ever one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. See, brothers and sisters, this is why we use that word and have historically to speak of the real presence. In the midst of real dangers, we do not come to this table to receive a promise. The promise is that in coming to this table, we receive Jesus Christ. It's in the midst of your life where it is that Christ comes to you. A real Christ in the midst of real problems, with the hope that one day this table that we share will not be in the presence of our enemies, but it'll be in the glories of heaven, where the glorious presence of God Almighty will be all in all. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come forth and to receive the very body and blood of Christ, that having been strengthened, you can go forth in the world, sustained by his power and grace. The table is spread. Let us keep the feast. gracious God, how we have proved you o'er and o'er, taking you at your word, trusting your promise. We receive that which you have given. Truly, really, for all eternity. Jesus Christ, in whom we live and move and have our being, both now and forevermore. Amen. Let us stand and close with our final hymn. Peace and joy to love and serve our Lord.
Great.